We're looking at Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. And the title is, "And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you." And the subtitle, "Going from a corrupt seed to a holy seed." I'll read the verses and get right into the study. And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you, if you will hear it, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange God. The Lord will cut off the man that does this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receives it with good, with will at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of your covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment. Saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? We spent two studies with chapter 1 of Malachi, which points to a type and shadow event that represents the yet carnal mind of Christians who could not as yet wholeheartedly present their bodies a living sacrifice that is acceptable unto him through Christ. The nation of Judah was going through the motions, but their devotion to God was lacking and being exposed by the wanting display of blind, lame, and torn animals that were being offered for sacrifice. In this second chapter of Malachi, the focus is more on the priests, as stated in the first verse, "And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you." The commandment is for the priests who represent the ministers of Babylon today, who are not able to lay the commandments of God to heart, and contribute to the contemptible way in which the people have brought their blind, lame, and torn animal sacrifices to the altar. The elect are typified as coming out from these priests and people in the persons of Levi. God has ordained from the foundation of the world for a royal priesthood to come out of her, my people, through judgment, to be made kings and priests by his great power. Isaiah 9, verses 15 and 16, the ancient and the honorable. He is the head and the prophet that teaches lies. He is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 11. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into this his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, which makes us think of Romans, of course. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not yet have not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. In Revelation 1:6, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And this is the same thing, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The remnant spoken of in this section of Malachi, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, are the typical remnant of God spoken of in Romans 11:5. Even so, then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace, and who represent those who have been granted to live by the faith of the Son of God in this life that saves us. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And there's that word residue. It's a remnant, the residue. It's referring, and it's a shadow for us of the elect. And Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. These words, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts, that's Malachi 2, verse 4, are an old covenant type and shadow statement that is declaring that God has a remnant that he is going to use to save all Israel, all the world in time. In this section of Malachi, we are learning how the people cannot obey the commandments of God, because God has not put in their hearts and minds his law, as he typically was doing in the life of Levi, who represent the elect of God in this case. And that's Romans 11:26-27. The priests continue to be admonished for leading the people astray and corrupting the covenant relationship with Levi in the following verses. That's from verses 8 to 11, especially in regard to Judah, who has profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange god. Those daughters represent Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, and her daughters that have deceived the whole world. In Revelation 17:5, the remaining verses of Malachi from 12 to 17 go on to explain the curse that the whole earth is under, and reminds Judah, as a type of the Christian religious world today, how they have despised the covenant of Levi, which covenant represents our first love with Christ, that over time is corrupted and dealt treacherously with and lost. Revelation 2, verses 4 to 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. It is very few who see God's modus operandi, which is to give all of humanity a heart that is not able to lay to heart the commandments of God. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 7, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Romans 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believes, for granted that faith to believe. Even losing our first love, and then out of those masses, the many call a few to have those commandments written on their hearts, which few in turn will witness against those who are not dragged out of Babylon in this age, all summed up with the words in these verses found in Malachi 2, verse 4, and Romans 11, verses 11 to 12. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. In Romans 11, verses 11 and 12, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So that's a very hope-filled statement, just telling us that God has a plan and there's an order to it. And of course, he shows us these things through his word, through and through, over and over. Malachi 2, verses 1 and 2. And now, you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. This commandment is for the priests. So it is for the body of Christ as well as for the ministers of this world. And its effectiveness on the ears who are hearing the commandment is completely dependent on whether God gives us spiritual ears to hear or not hear the command. Luke 10, verse 24, for I tell you, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Matthew 11, 25, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. In Matthew 13, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. These verses reveal that God is not holding out any hope for the nation of Israel or Judah to give glory unto my name, but rather we're being told that God already knows the condition of the heart of mankind, just as he did Adam and Eve in the garden. And so this is what is written. I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already. Behold, you do not lay it to heart. Dying you shall die, which is what Genesis 2 says. 17, and this is the literal version, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, dying, you shall die. Malachi 2, verse 3, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. None of this is going to be averted. God has promised that the first seed of the woman is going to be corrupt, and that we are going to be carried away into Babylonian captivity by way of the traditions of men, and one shall take you away with it. Genesis 3, verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that's the good news, that in the end, we'll come through that process, Lord willing, in this age. Matthew 15, verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Paul looked back and considered his captivity under the law for the lawless as part of the loss of all things he talked about and has done in comparison with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ or the law of Christ. Like dung, the law, if used correctly, is like fertilizer, the schoolmaster that God used to bring about all the growth and zealous works that were accomplished through Apostle Paul when the time came for that to become a reality. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. And 1 Timothy 1:9-11 there. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. And that's pretty, like, talk about a graphic array of characters. Just to get the point across, it's talking about humanity and what's inside all flesh. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And all of those conditions of flesh that we're talking about have their spiritual counterpart. So we know when you're a fornicator, you're fornicating, it's a spiritual type of that is defiling the word of God. And that's how God wants us to see it. We need to look at it that way and see and understand, well, this is what it's all been about. We've been defiling the word of God and our covenant with Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Galatians 4 verses 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed time. So that's Galatians 4, or Galatians 3, verses 23 and 24. So before the faith came, we were kept under the law. It's the same as saying being under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. It's the same principle. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The nation of Judah was not using the law lawfully, and God is the one who worked all of those actions of the nation and administered the punishment for their disobedient hearts, expressed in these words. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. Once again, we see God causing the nation to err and then correcting them. And this was all according to the counsel of his own will, which was all written for our sakes, to learn how God works with our own hearts and minds as his workmanship that goes from being marred in the hand of the potter to becoming something new and glorious, as seen good to the potter to make it. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse 10. And Jeremiah 18:4, verse 6. We're all familiar with these verses. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And verse 4, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. God sends his commandments to us, as he did to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, knowing we will not be able to keep that commandment. He also, at the appointed time, gives us the ability to keep that commandment and reveals those who can't by heresies that are made manifest, so we can discern who is approved in our midst through that disobedience. The world will understand in time that God's covenant was with the elect, who are predestined to fulfill God's purpose in this life, which is what you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi means. in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. But we had, and the question is, how do we do that? How do we trust in Christ in this marred vessel of clay? But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. So it's through our trials, of course. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Malachi 2, verses 5 to 7, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear with wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and he did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law in his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. These next verses typify for us the covenant relationship that God has with the elect today. And it all points to the life of Christ within us that gives us life and peace, along with the proper fear wherewith we fear him and tremble at his words, because we know that those words are the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. There's the life and the peace, John 6, verse 66, 63. It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's indwelling spirit within the body of Christ makes it possible for all of these things listed in verse 6 to be a reality, just as they were with Christ when he walked on this earth. As he is, so are we in this life. And that verse, actually, if we just look at it, part of right there, 17. No, not that one. The weird 1 John 4:17.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's how we are as Christ. And I think that was a concept that I didn't understand for the longest time. Christ was being judged and his body is being judged. He was learning obedience by the things he suffered. And that was what was making it possible. And he was giving God the glory. All the works that he was doing, he was saying, of my own self, I can't do this. But the Father was doing the works through us. And Christ, if we are as he is, the Lord's doing these works through us. Because as he is, so are we in this world, being judged, putting off our flesh, and being able to fulfill these things which we're reading here. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity, which is self-righteousness, was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, did turn many away from iniquity. And of course, ultimately, that's what the body of Christ will do. We're going to do, that's our calling, is to be able to manifest that spirit, that life of Christ, to be saviors that come up on Mount Zion. In order for these 4 points to become a reality, we are then told, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. In verse 7, meaning all of this is being obtained through Christ, who is our sufficiency in this life, who our Heavenly Father is dragging us to, making it possible for us to keep knowledge as he blesses us with the hunger and thirst to seek the law at his mouth. And all of this telling us that the messenger of the Lord of hosts is blessed to come in his name, to perform these actions of righteousness through him, who is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, which is to give us the kingdom. That's God's good pleasure. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Levi here typifies those who are coming in the name of the Lord as his messengers with the true gospel of Jesus Christ that brings us to worship our Father in spirit and in truth. Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if we do believe, and we are given that diligent spirit, it's because we've been given the faith of Christ. And this is the victory that overcomes the world within us, even our faith. And consequently, the world without us too, because we overcome the powers and principalities within and without, working in the hearts and minds of others. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Malachi 2, verses 8 and 9. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Corrupting the covenant of Levi by being partial in the law is what is in review here. And the lesson for the body of Christ is that when we depart out of the way, we can cause others to stumble at the law. The question is, the law in question is speaking about the old covenant laws that represent a type and shadow admonition for the elect of God today to not depart from the law of Christ out of the way and from the obedience to God's commandments. Hebrews 12, verses 14 to 17, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Whatever we sow, we are going to reap, knowing it is God who causes us to corrupt the covenant of Levi. This departing from the way of the nation of Judah typifies for us how we lose our first love and expresses how Babylon has caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi. The many who stumble at the law are the many called. And out of those many, God calls a few to repent of our iniquities and sins and overcome through Christ. It is all of the Lord, and demonstrates his sovereignty over the vessels of clay to make one unto honor and one unto dishonor as he determines and for his purposes. Romans 8, verses 26 to 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that's the reason why, because it's the Lord working that within us, both to will and to do of our Father's good pleasure. Romans 9, verses 20 to 24, but nay, O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Verses 10 to 12, and that's the big question, right? And that's the thing that our flesh constantly struggles with. Lord, why don't you just save everyone? Why don't you just, and that's what the churches want to teach. That's how they're perverting the covenant of Levi. They're saying, oh, you just have to accept Christ and it's all good. No. And of course, it's not the way it works, but God has designed it that way to show us that it's a gift of God and it comes at an appointed time. Verses 10 to 12. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange God. The Lord will cut off the man that does this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? That's the great question. The answer, of course, to this rhetorical question is that we do have one Father and that we do deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers. Because God has made us that way, marred in the hand of the potter, to be made something anew in his perfect time and order, each man in his own order. The marred clay is also referred to as the same lump. And God purges, chastens, and scourges his children in this age so that they can become a new lump that comes out of the old lump. Romans 9:21, has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old lump that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new lump. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we're still in these corrupt vessels of clay that can't inherit the kingdom, but God sees the end from the beginning, is what he's telling us. There is a work. Christ is the author and the finisher of that work, the new lump, and he has all of our books written. If we are his, we're bound to the altar. He's going to finish what he started in us, but he wants us to know the condition we're in. We have to continue to die daily and overcome and all the things that we know. And that's what makes us a peculiar and zealous people, because we know we need to move with fear and that God is working within this little remnant to that end. The whole world is deceived by Satan. And in that regard, we also start off with one Father in the negative sense of a father, who we are unknowingly subject to as the prince of the power of the air, which is Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It is Judah who has dealt treacherously, where an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem that represents God's people. That abomination spoken of typifies the abomination of desolation within the temple of God that we are, which must be destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming, if we are going to overcome the beast who wants to rule in that temple and sit on the throne of our hearts that belongs to Christ himself. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange God. The initial union that we have with the false doctrines of Babylon is represented by the daughter of a strange God, who we have married and who God calls us out of if he is working with us in this age. Chapter 13, verse 14. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand, that's the man of perdition, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. We flee to Christ if we are the Israel of God. Revelation 18, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And we know that we still have to go through those seven plagues. We are still being judged. Everyone has to be judged, each man in his order. But to avoid the lake of fire, we have to be judged now. It's as simple as that. The way that the Lord will cut off the man that does this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offers an offering unto the Lord of hosts, as a man who offers these things in the condition of one who has profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange God, the way he's going to do that is by having men trust in their own righteousness, which is what the wisdom of man produces through the master and the scholar, rather than trusting in God's power that can only come from him via the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 5 to 7, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or being perfected, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Luke 18, verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. In Philippians 3, 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verses 13, 14, and this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, and so much that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receives it with good will at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of your covenant. God is continually showing us who we are through these old covenant examples and how it is impossible to change the spots of the leopard unless the Lord intervenes and does so. Esau, who represents our flesh that must be put off, sought the Lord with bitter tears, covering the altar of the Lord, in other words, with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Esau's heart was not changed, and God knew this of him, as he did with the nation of Judah, and reminded the nation, yet is she your companion and the wife of your covenant, meaning this wife represents a covenant that you are not able to keep, and you were together with her in name only, and not in spirit, typifying Christianity today. Isaiah 4, verse 1, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. The nation of Judah had the same question in mind as Esau when they were being tried of the Lord. Yet you say, wherefore? God is showing us who we are, that we are beasts, and this evil experience is the witness that God gives us that we must go through in order to be brought to our wits' end and acknowledge that reality of our existence. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of your covenant. It is only when we miraculously take heed to that witness that we come out of her, my people, as the Lord drags us to Christ through his power. Where we fall and come short is in the most important and treasured relationship we have in the earth with the wife of our youth that represents our covenant relationship with Christ. And the Lord uses that failed relationship to show us that we are incapable of being anything other than the beasts of beasts, basest of beasts, that we are without his mercy being shown to us that leads us unto repentance, changing us from within. He knows the end result of our falling seven times in the wilderness will one day lead to all the world being reconciled to him. And how blessed we are today then to know that he calls us friend. We are his companion. We are the wife of thy covenant. if Christ is our head and we are obeying his commandments. And Anthony brought that up, and I just loved that. And I was thinking and meditating on it. That's the covenant. We are his friend because we are his wife. You are my friends if you do whatever, whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verses 15 to 17, and did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. And we are the wife of his youth, so it's towards each other as well. We could look at it that way. We are the wife of Christ. So how we treat each other, of course, and we ask the Lord, and we do. We love each other. We care for each other. This is what he's talking about, not dealing treacherously with the wife of our youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hates putting away, for one covers violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, every one that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of judgment? Not acknowledging judgment in our life. I mean, where is the God of judgment? He's should be in our life judging us, of course. God did make one lump. Out of that same lump, he purposed from the foundation of the world to have a remnant, a kind of first fruits to be saved first. Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. So the question is asked, why one lump? And the answer is that he might seek a godly seed. That holy seed that is spoken of in Galatians 3:16, one seed, being the means by which he would redeem all his banished in this life, all of humanity. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person, yet does he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. What are we to do now as the body of Christ while we tarry and wait for our Lord's return is answered with these words. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. The wife of our youth represents our new covenant relationship that we have as the wife of Christ. And we are being warned to judge ourselves and keep under ourselves as the body of Christ with these words. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hates putting away. For one covers violence with his garment. Our garment is our own righteousness, excusing our bad behavior. Saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hebrews 12, verse 15. So that intimacy of a relationship of marriage is all central to this study, because God's saying that's how we can cover the sins of the church. If we love one another, fervent love covers a multitude of sins, but God has to make us vulnerable. He has to bring us to that point where we are repentant and we do lean on the body of Christ. And we know that there's mercy in the house of God, and his mercy will endure. It will endure. It will. So we will fall, and we can expect that, but we can also know that God will be there at that end. He will comfort us. He will give us the ointment and give us more than that. If you look at that parable where he brought the man that was beaten up on the side of the road, he brought him there, he took care of him, and he gave him more. He gave him more provision than he had expected. And that's what God does for us. He cleanses us, he washes us thoroughly, and he creates within us a new spirit. He gives us more. If we don't do this, we will be cut off. And yes, God hates putting away. But if we are granted to take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously, then we will not have to be cut off. The last verse expresses the fruit of our losing our first love, which spirit wearies the Lord and must be repented of. It's not someone else. It's the beast that I see in the mirror every morning who has the potential to do what is written here. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of judgment? Not acknowledging the work that God is doing in us. He's judging us, and we go on to perfection on the third day. This phrase, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of judgment, is an expression of that Laodicean spirit that God hates and will spew out of his mouth when we call light dark and dark light, leaning onto our own understanding and thinking that we won't reap what we sow. And in doing so, we forget that we are to seek his judgments against our hearts every day as we die daily. And that's what we're doing for each other. We're helping each other bear that cross and acknowledge the workmanship of God that we are and seeing the great blessing that is ours. So these last few verses we're going to look at really express the blessing and the covenant that we have with Christ as his wife and how he will finish that work within us. Search me, O God, Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That's the diligent heart looking, Lord, keep me diligent to look and examine myself. Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eye with eye salve that you may see. 1 Corinthians 11:31. And that 1 Peter 4:19 is just to tell us that it's a narrow process. It's a narrow way. It's a certain way, but we know it's narrow. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. It was verse 18 that I wanted there, but that's a good verse too. And I guess that it was the right verse. You'll leave it like that for now, there you go. Because truly, this is what we're learning, that through this process of going through the fire, we can commit our lives unto him. He's faithful. He knows our breaking point. He's in the midst of this fire with us, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's the Lord right there in the midst of the trial. He knows what we're going through. But he says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So it's a narrow way, but it's one that's certain, is what I'm saying, because Christ is in the midst of the fire. He's going to take us through it. It's always nice to write your study on the fly. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. 1 Peter 4:18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The Lord can keep us, but it will only be through his judgments that are upon us that we will continue to be able to hold fast to the crown of righteousness that is being forged through Christ, who is going to make the bride ready. This is the covenant relationship that Christ has with his bride, and it will not fail. Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him for all of this process that he's putting us through. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Matthew 24, verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So we have to contrast that verse with this. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long, going through all these trials. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's our covenant relationship with our Lord, with this marriage that we are married to the Lord right now, and he wants us to know that. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.